In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I'm going to talk about the gospel today. Not the gospel that was read, neither one of them. But the gospel in the life of a saint. Because we can see the gospel in this life. One of my favorite saints celebrated today. He has a specific day in October. But this day we are celebrating the new martyrs of the Turkish yoke. And St. Timothy of Espigmenu is one of those new martyrs. And his story is the gospel. He was a layman from Thrace, present-day Turkey. His original name was Triantafilos, Rose. He had two daughters and was married. Probably living an ordinary Christian life under occupation, as the Christians in that area were. And it was a dangerous time. So there was a Muslim that lusted for his wife and took her into his harem. And she actually converted to the Islamic faith, certainly under fear of great punishment or even death. Timothy was heartbroken and prayed and sent his daughters away to a safer place. We don't understand this feeling, but there are men, women, fathers and mothers who weep as their daughter reaches puberty and is beautiful in some places in the world. Because if she's pretty, it's highly likely that she will be raped or that she will be taken away even into sex slavery. We don't understand this feeling because it doesn't happen to us. But it's happening now. Right now, right this moment, some woman is being subjugated to the lusts of a master. And so, it doesn't say so, but probably his daughters were pretty, so he sent them away to a safer part of the country. And he communicated with his wife surreptitiously, with notes, probably with bribes, so that he could get messages to her. And he would give her encouragement, but also rebuke. And she repented of her sin. She didn't want to be in the harem anymore. She didn't want to be Muslim. Of course, she didn't want to be in the harem to begin with, but she was afraid. And she had some courage now. She suggested to Triantafilos that he would appear to become a Muslim and reclaim her. Now, it just so happens that it's pretty easy to appear to be a Muslim if you're a man, because they would actually check to see if you were circumcised. And so he went to the tribunal and he said that he would become a Muslim if indeed he could have his wife back. Now the Islamic faith, if you can call it a faith, is very much based on legal fictions and money. They were happy to do this. I'm sure money changed hands as well. He was circumcised, and he was given his wife back. And so they went to live probably where they had before, but they were under really careful watch of the Turks because they didn't quite believe that his conversion was genuine. So Timothy understood that this was too dangerous for the family. He desired to become a monk to repent of his apostasy, his seeming apostasy. And he wanted his wife to repent in a convent. So they went away to a far city. He dropped her off into a convent, and he went off to Mount Athos, to St. Athanasios Lavra. There he spent 7 years living the ordinary life, if you can call the life of a monk ordinary, of an Athenite monk. We have no idea what labor is like. They do. And so he labored 7 years in obedience to the abbot and his spiritual father. He was tonsured with the name Timothy, which means honor of God, and desired martyrdom. But this was so sort of like a seed in him. He wanted to repent of his apostasy. He never apostatized in his heart. He did it for the sake of his wife, who was weak. Remember the words of Paul? To the weak, I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." That's what he did. He became weak so that he could save the weak. But it tortured him. He couldn't get it out of his mind. His abbot said, "You're forgiven your sin because you did it for the love of another. You put your own life at risk for the love of another. You saved your wife and your children." But he wouldn't let it go. He was obedient. He didn't run away. But this was always on his mind. And so, 7 years or so into his monastic life, the word of the martyrdom of the monk Agathangos came. And martyrdom is similar to St. Timothy's, but different. Agathangelos was also an apostate, but he was an apostate because of fear. His master wanted to convert him to the Islamic faith, so he took him to a cemetery and he cut him with a knife and made it clear that he would kill him if he would not become a Muslim. And so he did it so out of fear. But after that event, he repented and later on ran off to Mount Athos and had the firm intent to prepare and then to become a martyr, to go back into the city and to say, "I repudiate your false faith, the faith of demons." By the way, it is a faith of demons. That's not very politically correct, but it is a faith of demons. There are demonic things that happen in it. There's demonic teaching in it. And so he prepared for a great period of time. I don't remember, but it was something of like he was doing 5,000 great prostrations a day for a long period of time. And when he was prepared, he went down to make his martyrdom. The word of his martyrdom came to the Lavra, and Timothy was even more obsessed now. And so he tested his intention with his elder, and his elder had him move to Esfigmeno Monastery, where there was an abbot who had worked with the elder Gerasimos, who had both been involved in training Agathangelos for his martyrdom, because Agathangelos stayed in Esfigmeno before his martyrdom. So the relics of Agathangelos were there, actually physical pieces. I think his skull and a piece of his leg was there. St. Timothy had a great attachment to St. Agathangelos, would pray before his relics with weeping many, many times, and ask the intercession of the saint. He told the abbot of his intention to be martyred as Agathangelos. It was refused. So Timothy didn't run off. He didn't say, "I know better than the abbot." He stayed where he was, and he was obedient. Now, he kept pestering the abbot. He didn't stop asking, but he was obedient other than that. Maybe the abbot said, "Don't tell me anymore. Don't ask me anymore." He probably didn't obey as far as that was, because he wanted to be martyred. He had this love for Christ in his heart that none of us understand, where he wanted to show his great love for the Lord before the Mohammedans. So finally his wish was granted, and he was told to go down to such and such a place where Gerasimos was, the elder Gerasimos, with a letter from the abbot, basically saying what his intentions were, and as identification of who he was. And this place that he would go to would pass him through the village where his children were living. So Timothy, quite naturally, asked permission of the abbot in Esfigmeno to take leave of his daughters before he would go on to this other place. And the abbot refused. Sounds kind of strange. You can't even say goodbye to your daughters. But the abbot said no. Now, if you know anything about monastic obedience, it's very high. And it's very safe if you're obedient. And so he was obedient, even though it was difficult. And his obedience was tested. Now, he was sent with this letter, and as he was sent, he passed through the village of the daughters. But he was on the outskirts, but a friend saw him. He was talking to him, and then went and told his daughters. And his daughters came out to see him. And they ran after him and cried after him. and he ran away. Can you imagine that moment? Do you understand what was happening? Do you understand why he ran away? No, it's not just because he was being obedient. It's because he loved something more than his daughters. You know what the Lord says? If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and his sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be in any way a disciple. You understand what that means now? Timothy ran away from his daughters. He didn't explain, he just ran. They had no idea why he was running. They were hurt deeply. Finally, he made his way to Abbot Gerasimos. There was some additional training and preparation for his martyrdom. Another man came to that area, Hieromonk Athemios, and he was aflame with zeal for martyrdom. And so together, Timothy and Athemios were being taught and discipled, prepared by Elder Gerasimos. Finally, the time comes, and Gerasimos told them to go to a city, Kisani, to meet apostate Christians and to teach them. This would certainly be a good way to obtain martyrdom, because once it was discovered that they were teaching apostate Christians to come back to the faith, of course, the full wrath of Islam would come upon them. This area was again near to where his daughters were. Timothy asked at the end, could he see his daughters? But he was refused. The elder said, my son, do not return, but go with God's grace to your martyrdom, in which may the Savior of the world who gives you strength help you. As for your daughters, I give you my word that when you complete your labor of martyrdom, I will visit them myself. And so Timothy was obedient. And he went to Kisani, avoided his daughters. And he met with a former friend who was an apostate. By the way, do you understand that there are vast areas of the world where there were formerly Christians that are basically almost completely Islam now? They were apostates from long ago. Serbia has a tale to tell about that. Basically, all of Kosovo was fully Christian. Now it's almost exclusively Muslim. These things happened long ago. So long ago, people don't even remember. When they went to Kisani and they met with this apostate was embittered when he was told about the true faith again. So he went and told the magistrate. And the magistrate arrested them and tied their hands behind their back so tightly that their shoulders touched, you know, their scapula touched. And he sent them on to a larger city to be judged because he didn't think that this was his jurisdiction. And so during this judgment, there was still a month that Timothy was left alone. Sort of a good cop, bad cop thing. Hieromonk Athemios was immediately put to torture. But for a month, Timothy was left alone to kind of think on things. But when it was clear that he would not relent, he was tortured too. And their favorite torture was to put them in stocks and to beat their heels. And they started with 38 blows, and then they would increase it 2 blows each day. If you have any idea how much that must have hurt, because the heels would be all bruised, bloody, incredibly painful. And this happened for a long time. And then finally, they saw that they would not be able to convince them. And I don't remember when Athemios was martyred, but Timothy was beheaded and his body was thrown in a river. I should go backwards just a little bit because there's an interesting event that happened before their martyrdom. It shows something very important that I don't think we as modern day Christians value hardly at all. Germanos wanted to be able to see his children in prison, spiritual children. And there was a way to get in prison. If you have not paid the tax that the Muslims gave to every Christian just for breathing, then you would be put in debtor's prison if you could not produce a receipt and could not pay the tax. And so he arranged for someone to basically turn him in for this. And so he was put in prison. debtor's prison, or the whole, all the people in the prison were of different kinds. It was for Christians that were being tortured. It was for debtors, probably for different kinds of criminals. And so he met up with his spiritual children again, and they served vigil all night, probably just by reciting the Psalter, which they knew by memory. We don't know hardly anything by memory. Sometimes I ask someone to say the 50th Psalm by memory, and you can't even do that. That's really a sad commentary on us, to be honest with you. And so they had vigil all night. He confessed them, and they had the Holy Mysteries because he brought them in secretly. That's how important the Holy Mysteries were to them. Shortly after that, Timothy was beheaded, and Germanos bribed a guard to give him his blood-stained garments and went back to his daughters and gave them a portion of the garments and took some of the garments and also brought them to Mount Athos, and they are in a reliquary to this day of St. Agathangelos and St. Timothy together. Now, I told you this is the gospel. Why is it the gospel? Because it's good news. It's good news that we can love the Lord so much that we will give anything for him and give up anything for him. Here's a few take-homes from this story. One of my favorite things. One day, if we ever have the church painted, whether it's this church or whether we build another one, St. Timothy will be one of the icons. I want to have the icon of him running away from his children. That brings me to one of the take-homes. It's a very important one. It's one I've told almost everybody in this room. It's about appearances. Things are never, ever the way they seem. People are never as good as you think they are, nor are they as bad as you think they are, nor is your situation as difficult as you think it is, nor are people as mean as you think they are, or as lazy as you think they are, or anything else. And even if you might be right about judging a person lazy, you should live by this way of life. Things are never as they seem, and you should not judge, because it's a clean way to live. It's a simple way to live. St. Timothy appeared to be an apostate. He fooled the Muslims. He looked so much like an apostate. Other Christians would have certainly thought that he was an apostate, but he wasn't. Not in his heart. He appeared to be an apostate for a high reason. He risked losing his own life to save that of another. Things are never as they seem. Don't judge. Also, a take-home is his radical love. But radical love is no good without radical obedience. When people say they love and yet they go their own way and do their own thing, that's not love. That's narcissism. St. Timothy radically loved his wife enough to put his own life at risk. And then, even though he had a radical love for the Lord to be martyred, he was obedient to those over him so that the right time would come. His obedience is what saved him, you know. Because if he had disobeyed his elder and gone to see his daughters, he would have relented. He would have softened. He wouldn't have wanted to leave them. And eventually, probably, he'd be caught by the Turks. And then the grace of his great courage would be gone, because God would abandon him, most likely, if he had not been obedient. That might sound harsh to you, but if you understand obedience, you understand how important it is. The grace of God is something that is strong, but it's also fragile. That is, our ability to hold it is fragile. We can easily lose it. And St. Timothy had the grace of God to complete his martyrdom, but if he had not been obedient, he would have lost it. And he had to run away from his daughters. I know it wouldn't be quite canonically correct, but I would love on the last wall, on the west wall of the church, the last thing you see is Timothy running away from his daughters. Because that was his greatest witness, really, of his love for God. One other thing
But I see from his life, he didn't go off and get martyred immediately. This is probably at least a 7 or 8 or 9 year process. And he was obedient to those over him and prepared. Are you preparing for anything? Are you getting ready for anything? What are you getting ready for? For a test tomorrow, or for something that you got to do at work? Plant a tree? What are you getting ready for? Every day we better be getting ready. Well, we're tested every day. And there might be a great test in your future. Are you ready for it? Why do you think all these places that were Christian have become apostate, such that people don't even remember when they had Christians in their family? Why do you think that happened? Because the Christians that were there, they weren't ready. Martyrdom does not remove Christianity from a region. You can't kill them all. What removes Christianity is when people live in a secular way. You kill off the ones that are true believers. And then the other ones, they just fall in line like sheep. Which one are you going to be? I don't know which one I'm going to be. That's why I'm trying to get ready. Not really necessarily for martyrdom to happen tomorrow, but for my faith to be tested, and your faith will be tested too. Timothy prepared for several years for his martyrdom. You should be preparing too, because your faith will be tested. I can't tell you how many people I've known that came into the faith, and they had this great zeal, and they're no longer even Christians. Because there was something in their life that they just didn't want to get rid of. They were lazy about something. They didn't try very hard. They loved to read about the saints, but they didn't pray much. And so, eventually, when the storms came, washed away their house because there was no foundation. Your foundation must be prayer, fasting, reading the scriptures, struggling to be a Christian, having it be the most important thing that you do every day. I would know that you all are getting ready. If every Saturday the church was full, and every Sunday all of you would come with expectation to receive the holy mysteries. But that doesn't happen. Not in this church, and not in hardly any other church. There are churches where everybody receives communion, but nobody shows up on Saturday. I would challenge you. Are you getting ready? St. Timothy was probably just living a regular old life, and then his wife was snatched away from him. It wasn't fair, but it happened. So are you ready? Are you ready for whatever happens? The only way to be ready is to really be a Christian in your heart. Then God will not let anybody take anything away from you. Not anything of value. There's only one thing of value. That's your immortal soul. Do you understand why I call this the gospel? The gospel is about how to live. It's not facts. It's not theological sound bites. The gospel is what you should become. Who you should be. The gospel is about truth and about life. And we see truth and life in the life of St. Timothy of Esigmene. Through his holy prayers, may we have courage and be saved.